All stand. We had two get baptized this morning in our FOSA service.
That's awesome.
I don't know where Brother Thomas was this morning, but he sent me a text that four people received the Holy Ghost and were baptized. I think he's up in Minocqua, I believe. One was a 91-year-old man. Baptized, got the Holy Ghost. It's so great to have Brother Micah Johnson here. Grew up in this church. We love you, brother. Come preach to us, man. We're so proud of you.
And praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are you happy to be here tonight? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to church tonight. How about we have some church tonight? Everybody together, why don't you lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's call out to God today. Let's worship Him. Let's honor Him. Jesus, we love You today. We honor Your holy name. You are great and greatly to be praised. We honor You, Jesus. We magnify You, Jesus. Have Your way in this place. And everybody said amen. Well, what a privilege it is, an honor to be back in Madison, Wisconsin. This is home. It's good to be here. I don't want to keep you standing too long, so let's read our text, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read in verse 24, and I could probably spend hours tonight just going down memory lanes, but I won't do that. But it's good to see all of you, my family, my friends, loved ones. I'm so happy to have my wife with me and my two children on this trip. We drove to St. Louis from California. That was fun, and it really was. I wasn't being, but it was a good time. And I'm glad my mother's here. And of course, my brother and brother-in-law, I'm glad my family's here. And to be with Pastor Roy Grant and Bishop Grant and this church. Can't say enough about them. Can't say enough about this church. And but I got to preach tonight. So, and we're gonna preach. So Matthew 7, verse 24 is where we're going to begin. The scripture says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now notice in the next verse that the same wind, the same rain, the same flood came again. Jesus speaking says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened or like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And it fell. And great was its fall. The same wind, same rain, same flood. You might even say it was the same hurricane that came blowing through. One house stood, but one fell. I want you to turn to your neighbor and look them in their eye and just tell them, you were made for this. Turn to someone else and just tell them, you were made for this. You can be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to say how much I love Pastor Roy Grant. I appreciate him and his leadership. Brother Roy Grant has been such a a mentor to me, a father figure to me. I would call him a friend, but he really is a leader in my life, and I appreciate his leadership and his kindness. So, Pastor Roy, thank you for inviting me to preach. You know, and this is a privilege. And of course, we call him Bishop now. You know, Pastor Bishop. I've only had two pastors in my life, and today I'm pastor. My pastor is Nathaniel Haney, a great man of God. And my first pastor was this man, Bishop Grant. And I'm so privileged to be able to say that. So I wanted to say that publicly, Bishop. I love you. I love Pastor Roy. Calvary Gospel Church is one of the greatest churches on the planet. Does anybody believe that? And I'm so thankful to have this in my heritage and my family growing up here. This was a privilege. Amen. So it's good to be here. I come tonight with a simple word and a simple message, but I really do feel like this is more of a prophetic word than anything else. So I want all of us, I want us to be in tune with what God has for us today. I want you to open up your mind, I want you to open up your heart, but even more importantly, I want you to expose your spirit tonight. I want you to expose your spirit to what God has for all of us in this place. And if we do that, God is going to start something tonight that's going to ricochet throughout the next few years in your family, in your life, in your finances. Oh, I wish someone would believe me tonight. There is about to be a cataclysmic event that can start tonight. If we open up our hearts, our spirits, and say, God, whatever you want for me tonight, I want you to give it to me. Whatever you have for my family, I want it tonight. Whatever you have for my life, someone needs to say, God, I want everything you have for me. God, I want everything you have for me, and you can give it to me tonight. I'm ready for it right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus. And everyone said amen. We read in Matthew, Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and does them. Everyone say does them. See, that's important. You can't skip over that. You don't get points just for coming to church. Oh, man, see, I just stepped right in. I thought we were family. I thought we were friends, right? So I said it. We don't get points for coming to church. You're supposed to come to church. Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and does them. At some point, you have to stop coming to church and you have to start being the church. See, church doesn't just happen on Sundays and Wednesdays, but church happens every single day. Okay, see, I've come to preach tonight. I said, if you can open up your spirit, God's getting ready to do something. And Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and does them on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, you will be like a wise man. See, God's got something for you every single day. Not just one or two days out of the week. I want what God has for me every day. Every day there's a fresh word. I said there's a fresh word. Your Bible, every day you open up the word, God's got something new and fresh ready to speak into your life. That's why the writer of Hebrews said the word of God is quick and powerful. You know what that means? That means it's alive. It's alive and powerful every single day. Every time you open up your word, it's got something fresh and new to speak to you. How many here tonight, you want a fresh word from God? I need something fresh. I can't go back to stale bread or a stale word. I need something fresh right from the throne room of heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for a fresh word of God. I'm hungry for the living water of God. I need something from him every single day. It's not enough that we live on old revival. It's not enough that we live on an old word. That word was for its season. That word was for its time. But it's time for some of us to move into the next season. I said, it's time for us to move into the next season and say, God, what do you have for me today? I can't live on a youth week or a youth revival from 15 or 20 years ago. I need a move of God today. I need a revival to break out in my life today. I need a fresh word of God. This is why we go to church. That's why the writer said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's something that happens. You get a fresh word from God. And I need it. You need it. We all need that. We need to go forward in glory, from glory to glory. If you're not careful, you'll end up being like a tree that won't let go of its dead leaves. Never let go of those dead leaves. You can never receive the new leaves in the next season. You never go through that cycle of life. And what happens when that tree doesn't start going through that normal cycle? That means that tree is dead. I need a new word. I need a fresh word from God. I need to drink from the fresh waters of his word. And the scripture talks about Jesus here. Says, he that heareth these things of mine and does them will be like a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Notice, and I pointed out as we were reading, the same wind, same rain, same flood. Everything was the same. Every single word in your Bible from one verse to the other, it was exactly the same. Even the periods, it was exactly the same. Nothing was different. The only thing that was different was the foundation. That's the only thing that was different. And I got to thinking about this story, this little analogy that Jesus used. And I got to thinking about the storm. Got to praying about the storm. Because we all go through storms. Some of you are going through a storm right now. Some of you have been going through a storm for years. It seems like that cloud is just hovering over you. I can feel it in my spirit. It's echoing off of my spirit tonight. There's a storm cloud in your life. I've come to tell someone tonight, you're not going to stay in that storm very long, but it's time to come out of that thing. I was thinking about it and meditating on this service tonight, and God began to talk to me about some palm tree stuff. He said, think about the palm tree. You ever wonder, you ever see, and maybe you know, out in California we have palm trees, but we don't really have that, you know, big of storms, you know. But if you go down to Florida and then Texas on the Gulf Coast there, you'll start seeing the palm trees. And what's interesting about the palm trees is that they have hurricanes down there. And if you ever seen a hurricane, a picture of a hurricane after the fact, because you don't really want to see the hurricane, you want to get out of there, you know. But you ever see the picture of the hurricane flowing through, you'll see a palm tree, and that palm tree is there before the storm, it's there during the storm, and guess what? It's there after the storm. As a matter of fact, it's really, really difficult for that palm tree to be knocked over. But yet, you've seen a tornado come through these parts, and you know, we were kind of terrified driving out here that we were going to run into a tornado, but we didn't, so thank God for that. But you see a tornado come through, and a lot of trees can't hang with those tornadoes. Many times the pines and the oaks will just get leveled, will crack, will break under the pressure. But not the palm tree. The palm tree will bend with the storm. And you ever see those pictures where it's almost like the palm tree is almost completely bent over, yet the wind is beating on it, the rain is beating on it, but yet the palm tree stands. There's something about the palm tree that will bend but not break. There's something about the palm tree that it can take the heaviest of winds, but something in it, something how it's constructed, allows it to stand the test of the storm. So I started to think about it, and there's a lot of cool stuff out there. I'm not a tree guy, so I won't act like I am. But what I read on the internet is that the palm tree is constructed differently than your oaks and your pines. It doesn't have a radial ring and circle, but the inside are more like small bundles of wood and almost like spongy material that's more like a telephone cord than it is circles in a normal tree. It doesn't have that hollow center, which allows it to be flexible. What I'm trying to get to you and say to you tonight is that palm tree can last a storm because it is built differently. That palm tree can survive the toughest wind and the toughest rain because something on the inside gives it the ability to test and to make it through. I've come to tell someone tonight, you were made for the storm. Turn to someone and tell them, you were made for this. Turn to someone else, tell them, you were made for this. There's something on the inside of every child of God that allows us to go through the wind and go through the rain, and we might bend, we might feel it, but baby, we're not gonna break. It's not gonna break our mind. It's not gonna break our heart. It's not gonna break our spirit. We're gonna come out. You were made for this. You were made for the storm. A child of God was made to make it through the mayhem. We were made, we were created to overcome the chaos. We were designed to make it through the disaster. We were prepared to make it through the pain. I'm here to preach a word of faith to somebody that says you will make it through. If you believe that, lift your hands in the air right now, and I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're not going under. You're going over. You're not going around the storm. You're going through the storm. You're not going down. You're going up. You're not staying in. You're coming out. Why? Because something's on the inside. I was built for this. I got to praying this afternoon about this message, and I began to go down memory lane, Pastor Roy and Pastor Bishop. I began to go down memory lane of all the things in this building, in this campus, that God's spoken to my life. And as I was sitting there preparing for tonight, God said, see, Micah, every single event, everything you've been through, all the highs, and yes, all the many of lows that you experienced, it prepared you for this moment right here, right now. You were made for today. I said you were made for this moment. You were made for the right now. Some of you are looking around in your life wondering, I don't know which way to go. Don't know exactly what to do. I don't know what to do with my life. My kids are grown, or my kids are going nuts, or I don't know how to parent. I don't know how to do this or that. Friend, my friend, you were made for this moment. God saw your future long before you even knew there was going to be a future. And God's not going to leave you out to dry. He put everything inside of you that you need to make it through. Because you were made for it. You were built for it. You were designed for it. You were designed with that storm in mind. I got to thinking about skyscrapers, you know. My wife and I, a few years ago, we went down to Chicago. We went up on Sears. It used to be called Sears Tower. I don't know what they call it today. You know, whatever they're calling it now. But that building, we were way up there. And I remember the tour guide mentioned, they said, you know, at this height, you might feel the building kind of sway a little bit. I said, say what now? What'd you say? That's pretty high up. I don't remember how many feet, but it was high. Someone once said, low. Bible says, low, I am with you always. I think Brother Mahaney used to say that. I don't do heights. And so he started talking about the building swaying. I said, okay, we're out of here. And so I started thinking about that, what he said. And I started looking. They build the buildings. Some of you guys are them engineers that build those big buildings, you know. But they anticipate the wind.
They anticipate the storm. See, when God called you, he saw the storm. You think that that mess that you're in, that family drama that you're in, that marriage situation you're in, you think God didn't know that was coming? You think that caught God by surprise? You think what you're going through in your finances was somehow caught God off guard? No. God put everything that needs to be inside of you to make it through this thing. He didn't just call you knowing you were going to fail. He called you and he prepared you for the journey. Well, I wish someone believed that tonight. I said, he didn't just save you and forget about you. He said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to give you something that's going to help you get through it. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. And friend, if you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, there's nothing that can stop you. All right. I know. Without God, as the song said, we can do nothing. The writer of Psalms said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. There it is, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. You know what that means? Unless God's involved, you're wasting your time. And let me just stop right there and just say, I know I'm a young man, but that counts for everything. If God's not involved in your relationships, all for nothing. God's not involved in your career choice. Hello. If God's not involved in your family, what's Bishop used to say, the family that prays together stays together. Lest the Lord builds the house. I can't get my family together on my own ingenuity and smarts and think that I'm going to get everything right. No, I need God in my life. I need God in my family. I need prayer in my house. We got to have a move of God every single day as a family. My son, my daughter, my wife, we got to know how to touch God. Lest the Lord builds the house. Lest the Lord's involved. Unless God's at the center. And so many times we think we can do it on our own. And we see everybody else doing it on their own in the world. And it seems like they're doing okay. We don't take into consideration that they're walking around in darkness. And yet we are here in the light. Unless the Lord builds the house. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him. What did the sister say? But with God. Someone say, but with God. All things are possible. See, I'm not walking through this darkness alone. I'm not going through life alone. I'm not by myself. I got somebody with me. I got my God right by my side every single day. He's not just up in heaven wondering how things are going. No. My God is with me. He's walking with me every single day. He's talking to me every single day. He's giving me a fresh word every single day. And if God is with me, all things. Someone say all things. If I do my part, God's going to do His part. If I keep Him involved, He's going to stay involved. But at the moment I think I can do it on my own, He's just going to take His hands off. Go ahead. Do it on your own. But if I stay with Him, Jesus said, I will build my church. What did He say after that? And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm so thankful the Bible says God cannot lie. That means if Jesus said it's going to happen, if he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, you know what that means? That means the gates of hell cannot prevail. It means that it is impossible. So what does that mean for you and me? That means for you and me, all we got to do is stay in the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if I keep my family in it, all right, I see you right now. If I keep my wife and my kids in it, I cannot fail. If you believe it right now, lift your hands, lift your voice and say, God, I believe it for my life. I believe it for my family. You're going to make it through if you just stay in the church. You're going to make it through if you just stay in the church. God is faithful. Someone say amen. The devil's going to try to stop you, but he can't stop you. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Some of you need to wake up tomorrow morning and in your prayer time before you do anything else, before you even get out of bed, you need to quote that scripture to the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Woo! I feel it in the Holy Ghost. See, when you believe the word of God, you can lay claim to that promise. But see, I can feel that spirit of doubt creeping in. It's because you don't actually believe the word of God. Let me just say it like this. Whatever God owns, he has a responsibility to take care of. Whatever belongs to him, he has a responsibility to take care of. My children don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder if dad's going to get them food that day. They don't have to wonder if there's going to be a place to stay. That's not their responsibility. It's my responsibility. Why? I'm their father. They belong to me. They're my children. It's my job to take care of them. See, when you're a child of God, God has a responsibility to stay faithful to you. I'm preaching to someone today. I'm trying to lift your faith today. God has your life in his hands. As soon as you say, God, not what I want, not my will, but thy will, not my kingdom, but thy kingdom, all of a sudden you transfer responsibility to him. And you can say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm in your hands. And my God is faithful to 1,000 generations. If he was good then, he's going to be good today. If he was good in the Bible, he's going to be good today. He's the same God. Someone say amen. 2 Samuel 21. Not going to preach too much longer. But I'm going to preach. 2 Samuel 21. The devil's always going to try to stop you. Always. Bible tells a story. We read a story in 2 Samuel. David, getting to the end of his life, goes to war against the Philistines. And he was constantly fighting these Philistines. The Bible says when the Philistines were at war again with Israel. Let me just pause there for a moment. There's some things you're going to have to fight your entire life. There just are. There's some things that you need to go back and make sure that are conquered in your life. There's some things that you're just going to have to deal with. And the Philistines were one of those things for David and Israel. The Bible says they were at war again with Israel. David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. But pal, he was getting old. That's what the Bible's saying there. He wasn't as young as he used to be. He didn't have all the strength that he used to have. Does anybody feel that way today? Praise God. The Bible says that David grew faint. And the scripture goes on. Then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, which is really, really heavy, who was bearing a new sword. You see it there? He was bearing a new sword. Thought he could kill David. He thought he could kill David. Next verse, please. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Can I just say, it's about time in our generation that some of these younger men, younger moms, younger dads, it's time for us to go to war. There's going to come a day when the elders have fought as far as they can go. Well, are you with me tonight? It's not enough that we just grow up in church and just kind of ho-hum through it. There's going to be some time that we're going to have to pick up the sword and go to war. You know how you do that? It's through revival prayer meetings on Friday night. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. When you go to prayer, you're going to war. I said, when you go to prayer, you're going to war. You need to start thinking that way. When I pray for my son, my daughter, I'm not just saying, oh, lay me down to sleep prayer. No, no, but I'm going to war. Some of us, we've been going through a mess. We think that our little patty cake prayer is going to do it. You need to get a hold of God like we never have before. I don't know about you, but I want God to use me in this last day. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And if I need to pray longer than I prayed before, I'm going to do it. If I need to fast longer than I fasted before, I'm going to do it. I want God to use me. I want Him to protect my family. The Bible says that Abishai, a young man, struck the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swore to him, saying, You shall go out no more with us into battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. But I want to focus on this new sword. If you can go back a few verses. This new sword. Now, it's translated in our Bible, this new sword. Is it there? I think it's verse 20 or 16 or 15. The Bible says he was bearing a new sword. But it really wasn't a sword. In the Hebrew, we're not really sure what this thing is. What it's saying here in the Hebrew word is just, it was something new. We call it a sword because we didn't really know what it was. But it was something new the Philistines had created to attack Israel. And hopefully this new thing is going to destroy them. But they didn't know what it was. Can I tell you? The devil's always coming up with new things. There's always something new. Something new to distract you. Something new to take your attention. Something new to grab your children. A new movie, a new video game, a new song, a new social media thing or whatever. There's always something new. Sin never really changes. It just changes form. Those lies, they're all still lies, but they just kind of change how they appear a little bit. But aren't you thankful that the Bible says that there is no weapon that is formed against us that will prosper? It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do to me or to my family, it shall not prevail. That's what the Bible says. It said it created a new sword. It was a new thing. That's why you and I have to be vigilant. Scripture says be sober and vigilant. Be aware. Know what's going on. Know what's going on in your family. It feels like a really pastoral message right now. Sorry. He said I could preach whatever I felt. But how many people have been lost? Because we're not paying attention. I don't have my phone on me. Mom and Dad, do you know how much your kids can get to with their phone? I know the young people, you're about to hate me right now, man. Your phones, the tablets, the iPads, the watches, the computer. I mean, it's everywhere. And stop and just think about it. All of those devices are avenues for the spirit realm. Every single one gives access to your life. We are living in a dangerous time. Now more than ever, you and I, we need to be awake. We need to be aware. The devil is using a new thing, a new sword, a new weapon, whatever it is. But he's coming at our families. He's coming at our children. He's coming at our marriages. He's coming at our churches. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of the enemy attacking my family. But when are we going to get so sick and tired of it that says, you know what? No more. Enough is enough. And we grab our Bible and we go to prayer. I feel like there is going to be a revival of prayer that's getting ready to hit Calvary Gospel Church. God told me I was getting ready to prophesy tonight. And I believe this is the word of God. There is going to be a spirit of prayer that comes over every single person that's ready for it. Every single house. God is getting ready to bring us into a spirit in a season of intercession. And this intercessory prayer, hear me right now, it's going to break every stronghold. It's going to break every chain. It's going to break the shackles of bondage. It's not going to come through music. It's not going to come through events. It's not going to come through fellowship. It's going to come through prayer. Right now, lift your hands, everybody in the building. Would you begin to pray? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Right now, everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues right now. Everybody, if you know how to do it, let it out. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let there be a spirit of prayer. Let there be a spirit of intercession. Let it grip us. Let it grip us. Some of you need to go to war for your children. Some of you need to go to war for your wife or your husband. Some of you need to go to war for the pastor. Some of you need to go to war for your family and friends. You need to go to war. It's time to pray. There's a call to prayer. It's saying now's the time. You're going to make it through, but you're going to have to touch God. You're going to have to touch God. That's good if that's all you want, but if you want a little bit more, I want you to press a little bit longer right now. It's all right if you don't want it, you can stay there, but if you want a little bit more, why don't you press a little bit longer? Why don't you close your eyes and begin to let that spirit pray out of you right now? Why don't you lose yourself in the Holy Ghost right now? Why don't you just begin to pray in other tongues until you can't pray anymore? There's a spirit of prayer sweeping over the building. Oh. Let me have your attention. We're going to pray in a few minutes. You can be seated. We're going to pray in a few minutes. I believe that the spirit of intercessory prayer is going to flow through this building, and everybody that wants it, everybody that wants it, you'll receive it tonight. But the greatest power that God has ever given us, I mentioned it earlier, is the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told the disciples, he said, go, tarry, wait for me. And he says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he says, when it comes upon you, you shall receive power. Everyone say power. Now often we look at that word and we think power for miracles. Power to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to open blind eyes. And all that's true. We have the authority to do that. But that authority is done by the name of Jesus. Here in Acts 1, the word used for power was not the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. The word used for power was dunamos, which simply is referring to abilities. What that means is that it wasn't giving us the gifts of the Spirit here. What it means is, he said, you will have power to do what? To overcome. The power the Holy Ghost gives you is the power to overcome. That's why in the book of Revelation he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of what? Of their testimony. I've got that Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. That Holy Ghost living down in the inside of you is what gives us the power. See, we underestimate that. You know why we underestimate that? Because for some of us, it's been a long time since we first got the Holy Ghost. But if we go back and we can remember when we were just a new convert, I can remember the very first time I spoke in tongues. It was in this church. It was in the old building over there. I don't know if you, they probably don't call it that anymore. I don't know. Fellowship hall, something like that, right? I'll never forget it. Brother Peter was a youth week. I remember we got done choir practice. It was a youth choir practice. Pastor Roy and I don't know what happened. I just went over and I knelt down in my pew and I began to sob. Tears just came down. And I began to speak in tongues. First time I ever remember speaking in tongues, Brother Matt. Right there, 12 years old. In that moment, God made me so powerful. He gave me power to tread on every serpent, to overcome every devil, to overcome every demon. Friend, you want to know how you're going to kick that addiction? It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't, hey, you can go to all the AA meetings you want. You can see the psychologist, the psychiatrist. You can do whatever you want. That's all fine and good. Keep doing it. But you know what's really going to change your life? When you get that Holy Ghost deep down on the inside. When you begin to speak in other tongues and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. Brother Kabash, you know why he says that? It's because when we pray in the Spirit, he said, oftentimes you pray amiss. In other words, you're praying wrong things. You don't know what you're supposed to pray. Anybody ever been there before? I'm not even sure what to pray right now. Everything's going crazy right now. The storm. Waters are rising. Earth is shaking. Anybody ever felt that before? Earth starts to shake underneath you. Family's going nuts. Friends are stabbing you in the back. You thought they were friends. Everybody you thought was on your corner, they all left and they're in someone else's corner. I don't even know what to pray. I feel betrayed. I feel hurt. I feel lost. There's no way out. I don't know what to pray. The Spirit says, I make intercession for you. I pray for you. I pray for that situation. When you're speaking in tongues, you're not just speaking babbling nonsense. No, 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 no. The Bible says that the Spirit takes over your prayer. And friend, if you want something powerful, you just let God pray for you for a little while. See, we don't believe that the Spirit is some third person of a Trinity, but no, no, it is God Himself. And when God prays for you, things start to happen. I said, when God prays for you, things start to happen. And you can access that by praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit maketh intercession for us. But I don't know what to pray. God, I don't know what to say. I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm lost. I just begin to pray in other tongues. And I feel a strength. I feel something rise in my spirit. Square my shoulders back and I know it's going to be okay because God is fighting for me. If I was doing it on my own, there would be some problems, probably some mistakes. But when God gets on my side and starts praying for me, this is what Jesus told the apostle Peter. He said, Peter, the devil wanted you to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. And what did he say? He said, I prayed for you that your finances would turn around. I prayed for you that your marriage would get back together. I prayed for you that your kids would. He didn't pray any of that. He said, no, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith would fail not. There's something that happens when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. God takes on our request, our petition, and He begins to go to work on our behalf in our faith. One thing that we cannot live without, it's our faith. You can lose your money. You can lose your job. You can lose your house. Everyone can walk out on you. You can be just like Job. You can lose everything. But the one thing the devil's after, he's after your faith. Whenever someone tells you they don't believe this thing anymore, I just don't believe that stuff anymore. You always got to figure out, okay, what was it for you? Because the devil's only going to attack what he knows is attached to your faith. You ever wonder why? Devil can attack one person, they live on. Devil attacks this person, and they fall away. It's because what the devil attacked in that life was attached to their faith. If your faith is attached to money, well, he's going to attack your money. If your faith's attached to your wife or kids, or he's going to attack your family. If your faith is attached to your job, well, he'll attack your job. But when your faith is in the one above, I trust not in riches. You can take my job. You can take my car. You can take my boats, my house. You can take all of that. But there's one thing I can't live without. And His name is Jesus. There's one thing that's greater than anything else in my life. And His name is Jesus. There's one thing I refuse to go without. And His name is Jesus. And when you have faith, friend, you are unstoppable. There's nothing you can do. He can hit you and you're going to keep on going because greater is He that's inside of me. My hope isn't in this world. My hope isn't in my job or my car or my house. My hope is in God. I said it's in God. It's in God. And when you have the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, you have access. You have access to the throne of God. Some of us tonight, I feel it in my spirit. I told you, we're getting ready to pray. God's getting ready to take this church to another level. I said, we're getting ready to go. And it's going to be there's an old saying that a high tide raises all ships. There's some of you that you've been just chugging along, but God's going to plug in. You're going to plug into God, and he's going to take you to another level. There's some of you here today, you never even knew. You don't know anything about this Holy Ghost. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to get it tonight. God's going to fill you with it tonight. You don't have to leave without it tonight. You can get the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you tonight. Does anybody believe that? It's God's will for you to have the Holy Ghost. It's his will that everybody has the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter the language you speak. Doesn't matter your family pedigree. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. God has the Holy Ghost ready for you. And he's going to take this church. I believe this in my spirit right now. The music can come. He's going to take this church into another level. But the level is a spirit of prayer. Pastor, I feel that. It's going to be a spirit of intercessory prayer. I can see Calvary Gospel Church going on 24-hour prayer chains where someone is praying. I don't even know if this is in the plans or not. I just feel it in my spirit, you know. I see a 24-hour prayer chain that someone in this church is going to be praying every single minute of every single day. I feel that in my spirit. I see it happening, and it's starting with some of the faithful. But as you start to see the faithful ones do it, there's going to be others that get on board. Can I just tell you, you might as well just get on right now. You might as well get on the bandwagon early, as they say. You might as well get plugged in. And this is what's going to start to happen. Again, I don't know. Pastor Roy, we haven't talked. I don't know what the plan is. But I just feel this in my spirit. This is what's going to start to happen. The moment that you allow that spirit of prayer to come into your home, that darkness is going to begin to dissipate. And the light, for some of you, you've been waking up in darkness every single morning, battling depression, anxiety, and fear. It's just been like a cloud in your house, snapping at your kids, snapping at your wife. It's a spirit that's in your home. I said it's a spirit that's in your home. I know what you think. Oh, he's been in California too long. He's getting all spooky, you know. Look at me. It's a spirit in your home. The devil's attacking you. He said, we don't want to give that much glory to the devil. No one's giving him glory, but you got to recognize your enemy. Hear me. You better recognize your enemy. There is an enemy of your soul. The Bible says he's a thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. The moment that you allow that spirit of prayer to hit your home, things are going to start to change. That cloud is going to dissipate. You're going to start to think clearly for the first time. For some of you, it's going to be the first time in a long time. For some of you, it's going to happen tonight. You're going to get the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, all that addiction you've been struggling with, it's going to feel like, man, I can do this. I can overcome it. You're going to feel like a new person, a new man, a new woman. It's going to just completely change you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. God's ready to turn your life around tonight. Once you commit to it, God's going to start first getting rid of that cloud. That anxiety is going to leave. I declare it by the authority of the Holy Ghost. The anxiety is going to leave. The depression is going to leave. The fear is going to leave. By the authority of the Word of God, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of fear, every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of depression right now to leave in Jesus' name. I rebuke you by the authority of the Word. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Hey! After that, you're going to see miracles happen. Pastor Roy, Pastor Grant, you should start a log. I'm just telling you what I feel in my spirit. There's going to be so many miracles happening, you're going to start to think, we should start writing these down. And once you start writing them down, you're going to see they're going to calculate. Just keep adding up. And so many so that we're going to lose track of how many miracles. You're going to see miracles in your family. Prodigals are going to start coming back. Backsliders are going to come home. There's a revival. It's right here. It's not coming down the road. It's not over the hill. It's not down the way. It's right here. It's right now. And it's going to be ushered in through a spirit of prayer, through a spirit of intercession. When someone says, it's time to go to war, it's time to fight hell, it's time. Right now, everybody's starting to come. If you need the Holy Ghost, give me 1 minute. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come center right here. If you want what I've been talking about, hang on a second. If you want what I've been talking about and you don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to come right here in the center. If you want the Holy Ghost, this is a power. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter where you come from, you're going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Who else needs the Holy Ghost? Come on up. Come on, right here. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Who needs the Holy Ghost? Who needs the Holy Ghost? If you're still out there right now, turn to someone next to you and ask them if they need the Holy Ghost. If they tell you yes, I want you to bring them up. Everybody here needs the Holy Ghost. I'm going to wait. Come on down. Come on down. Pastor Grant, I don't know how we do it. If you have a team, the prayer altar workers, I want you to come. I want everybody to come and find someone down here who needs the Holy Ghost. This is how it works. Let me have your attention. There's a spirit of intercessory prayer that's getting ready to flow in this building right now. Some of you are not going to be able to stop praying. You're going to go home praying in the Holy Ghost. This is how it works right now. Look at me. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. When we tell God, God, I'm sorry for all the sin, all the mess I've made. I'm ready for a change. That's called repentance. So that's the first thing that we do. We repent. We say, God, I'm ready for a change. I'm ready to be different. And then after that, we begin. We don't ask God for the Holy Ghost because it's a gift. He's given it to us. So once we repent of our sins, we close our eyes, we look up in the air, we lift our hands, and we just begin to worship God. And all of a sudden, there's a language that starts coming out. You've heard it already, I'm sure, amongst the church. This is called the gift of tongues. It's speaking in other tongues. And that is the sign that God's Spirit is on the inside of us. So this is what we're going to do. Everybody in the building is going to repent. From the front to the back. We're going to repent. Because you can't go to God in prayer if you have something in your life. It isn't going to work. So everybody in the building, we're going to repent together. And when we do, we're going to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And everybody down here, that you don't have the Holy Ghost, I just want you to give them to speak out in whatever words come out. Just let it flow. It's not going to make any sense. It's going to sound jumbled and weird. That's all right. Everybody else is going to sound exactly the same. Just let it flow out of you right now. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray together a spirit of repentance. Everybody in the room is going to repent. Everybody close your eyes right now and let's all pray. Father, right now, I come before you. I am sorry of all the sins that I've committed. I am sorry for everything that I've done. But God, I am ready for a change in my life. I want you to forgive my sins. God, I know that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me. So God, I trust you tonight. And I worship you. Now everybody in the building, lift your hands, lift your voice, and begin to pray in other tongues. Let the Spirit pray through you. Let the spirit of intercession fall. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's got the Holy Ghost. Who else wants it? Let that Spirit fall on you. Let it fall on you. Let it fall on you. There's greater levels right now. It's time to go to greater things. He has greater things for your family. He's got greater things for your marriage. He has greater things for your children. It's time to go to prayer. It's time to go to war. Come on, God's doing it. We already got a few that got the Holy Ghost already. We got families breaking through. Some of you need to get with your family right now and say, come on, we're going to war. We're going to war. We're taking this thing head on. We're not going to sit back, but we're going to war.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar.
That's it. The Spirit's moving right now.
Make me a house of prayer.
The Spirit's moving right now. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. You got to lead them to prayer. You got to lead that family to prayer. You got to lead your children to prayer. We're taking it head on today. I was made for this. I was built for this. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed. I'm going to fight harder than I've ever fought. I'm ready. I'm ready.
A house of prayer. A house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out.
Things are going to be different, devil. Things are going to be different because I'm not fighting by myself. I'm going to war with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Make me a house of prayer.
House of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. The fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.